call the meeting to order.
All right.
Is everybody here that you expect to be here? Okay. So in your package, there's an agenda, and if there's no changes to it, somebody needs to make a motion to approve it.
What were you approving?
The agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve.
In a second?
So moved.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And then your minutes are attached as well. And Susan sent those out earlier in the week, so you had a chance to review them.
Motion to approve.
A second for that? Can we get a second for that?
Second.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving right along. Item four is the wildlife management update from Bob Bryant.
Wildlife management update. We have two deer that were spotted on the airport last night, actually. We do have the resources available to remove the deer from the airport, and those resources have been contacted, and we're working on scheduling the appropriate time to make that removal happen. We have all the current depredation permits issued by Fish and Wildlife, by the State Department of Natural Resources for wildlife control of migratory birds, and so that's finally all in place. Other than the two deer, we haven't spotted anything else. So,
have you had any bird strikes lately?
I haven't picked anything up, and not that I know of, nothing's been reported.
And we've seen plenty of birds out there, but no one's hit one.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. Turkey vultures are the worst. They're circling, and your runway protection zones, those big grass field open areas, when the sun hits those, warms up that ground, and those thermals start, man, that's a perfect place for those birds to hang out.
Geese
have moved on. I've fired off a lot of noise crackers lately, and interestingly, we can't get the shells to fire off, to load in the pistol to fire those things off. Yeah, the company that we got them from historically doesn't have. They're sold out. They're waiting for delivery, and I'm probably down to maybe 50 shells. So, yeah.
All the birds are at the lake that I live on.
They're at the lake?
Well, keep them there.
Yeah, keep them there, exactly.
Feed them.
My
neighbors would get after me.
All right, any questions for Bob on the wildlife management update? Hearing none, we'll move to item five, the airport update.
Airport update. Just to give everybody a quick summary of the fabulous tour that we had with state and federal officials, John Carney paid a visit to the airport today. Governor John Carney came to the airport today. It has been rumored that he knew very little about our airport. He has toured the Aloft complex previously, but never really had an idea of what the potential of this airport can mean to the state of Delaware. So this morning, we stuck him in a bus, gave him a quick tour of the airfield. I emphasized to him the vast amount of property that we do have available to be able to accommodate any aviation and or aerospace economic development that the state may be interested in pursuing or may potentially have fall into their lap. Because in the state of Delaware, as everybody is well aware, there's only four public use airports. Two of them, Delaware Air Park and Summit Airport, are too small to be able to accommodate an aloft type of development. And Newcastle County is landlocked, and with their triangular runway layout, you don't have access to the middle of the airfield. So if the state of Delaware wants to pursue aviation and aerospace economic development, this quite possibly might be the only airport where something like that could build. And he saw that. He had a great tour at the Aloft complex. He asked a bunch of questions. He's keen on getting a dollar number for the runway extension project. And that's easier said than done. Todd and I and the engineering department and quite possibly one or two of our airport consultants that we're using right now are going to want to get together and brainstorm what that cost could be, understanding that the FAA is still going to require you to follow FAA guidelines on not only the pavement, but also environmental concerns and issues like that. So we'll get that number for him. If he's able to allocate state funds to help us to pursue that project as a self-funded project instead of waiting for the 500 operations, annual operations of the critical aircraft that will jumpstart the FAA participation and funding in that project. If the state's willing to do that, that's great.
Yeah.
So we'll put those numbers together for him and we'll move from there. Todd, Mark, you guys were a part of the tour. What were your impressions and interpretations of the meeting?
When he was at the law, most of the questions and everything pertained to what we do.
Yep.
I think somebody asked a question about the runway, what would that mean for us?
Yep.
But other than that, I didn't really get a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. He was also under a tight schedule.
Yeah,
so
he seemed to be a little stressed.
Yeah, it went well.
So how does the funding tie into this magical threshold that we have, the 500?
Federal Aviation Administration.
That's
will,
just for FAA,
yeah,
right?
they will not, yes. If we want the Federal Aviation Administration to pay the cost of this runway extension project, we have to record 500 annual operations, and one operation is a landing, the second operation is a takeoff. So we need 250 airplanes to do a landing and a takeoff of what's considered by the Federal Aviation Administration to be the critical aircraft at this airport. Right now, the critical aircraft have been identified as the Gulf Streams that Shell Aviation has, some of the similar sized, and also some of the smaller, not much smaller sized corporate jets that are built by a number of manufacturers. When the last effort was made, from my understanding, to record that number was in 2018, and we fell well short with approximately 350 recorded operations. Based upon the FAA forecast, the FAA isn't predicting that we'll, or the FAA is predicting that we will meet that 500 threshold by 2028.
Right, so what I'm wanting, my question is more geared towards, we understand what it is. Does Carney know what it is? Was that explained to him, or does it matter whether on a state level they understand what that threshold is from a federal funding participation standpoint?
From a federal level, I'm not sure. It was discussed that we would have to, we gave Governor Carney an estimated year of when the FAA would participate in funding. But again, if the state is willing to fund the project, we could start tomorrow.
Is that your understanding? Like that would be, it could be 100% state? I mean, is that a possibility?
We don't know yet. And that's really the bigger question of all this money flowing from DC is what strings are attached. If it's normal program money that just has grown, the pot has grown without any benefit of cutting through some of the regs, I don't know that we're much better.
That is unknown with this infrastructure bill right now.
Right. So, I mean, two things are possible. There's more money to spend, so it's going to mean we can do the projects faster because all the money's there. what I really look for is cutting through some of the red tape so that we can fast forward these projects quicker than under normal circumstances, some of which are highlighted here, which I think no person in their right mind would, no engineer in their right mind would design construction projects that are laid out that look like this.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
And that's why we did it. It was based on their funding.
Right.
Yeah.
So hopefully $250 million for airports just in Delaware, just from this latest round of money. There's not a lot of airports in Delaware if you throw out the Air Force Base to spend $250 million.
Yep.
So I'm hopeful that it's a huge injection that will fast forward some of these projects a lot quicker.
Yeah.
They pulled us aside at the end of the meeting and said, just get us a number and tell us what you need and what you want to do first.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'm hopeful that kind of speak is indicative of less red tape.
Exactly, exactly. Continuing with airport update, there is a handout that was not in the email that Susan sent you. You should have it on your chair right there. It's a three-page handout. The first page is just a reminder. The construction phasing for the general aviation apron, it's been pushed back due to the contractor's difficulty in having materials delivered in time. So the contractor asked if we could push back the construction start date to late March, more likely April of 2020. The entire project lasts 170 days. The bulk of the construction is going to be completed in the first 75 days. Now, part of that 75 day, included in that 75 day period, includes a work area B and a work area C, which is adjacent to Taxiway Bravo and Taxiway Alpha and Taxiway Bravo, which when construction is occurring in those areas, those taxiways are going to need to be closed. The project schedule, the number of work days, including the stop work days, waiting for the pavement to cure, is on this layout. If anybody has any questions, you know, go ahead and give me a shout. It's pretty self-explanatory. You know, hopefully we'll have a cooperative spring and summer weather, and this project will zoom right along. The second and third page go together, but I'll draw your attention to the second page first. Sussex County has submitted to the Federal Aviation Administration our capital improvement plan for the next 5 years, and how that plan will be used in implementing FAA grant money toward eligible construction projects at the airport. And as Todd has hinted, this is a unfortunate and somewhat nightmarish phasing for this project. It's basically two phases. There is a what I would call a, for purposes of making this somewhat easy to explain, if you look at the map, I would call the green area of phase one, the purple area of phase two, and this will begin the construction of what will ultimately be a new full-length parallel taxiway for runway 523. I'm sorry, for runway 422. I was thinking of a different runway. The Federal Aviation Administration has instructed us to put together a CIP plan where we would not exceed more than $3 million a year in construction money. They wanted us to break this project into two phases. First phase is the design phase for what would be the green portion of the map. That project is estimated to cost a little over $5 million to complete, so we've had to break the construction phase down into a phase one and phase two. So for the next 3 years, we will be focusing our construction efforts on the green portion in your third layout. The 3 years following that, 2026, we begin design phase for what would be the purple area. And then in 2027, 2028, we begin the, wait a minute, I've got this wrong, I'm sorry. The construction of the green and purple areas will occur in 2023 through 2025. The remainder of the taxiway full length beyond those areas to the ends of the runway will occur in 26, 27, and 28. So basically over the next 6 years, it's our efforts for FAA airport improvement funding is going to be concentrated exclusively on a new parallel taxiway for runway 422.
So this, as I see it, is a prime example of what the government was discussing today as far as with FAA guidelines, AIP funding,
was
constructed out to 6 to 10 years to construct the taxiway, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
But if we want AIP funding, that's what it's going to take.
That's if you're going to wait for the FAA to fund the project, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and it's frustrating from, you know, my perspective, because of course, we have other needs at the airport, rehabilitation of what we already have. Of course, we're looking at the extension of the runway, and we're also looking at extension of additional aircraft parking areas, particularly to accommodate corporate jets. And for the next 6 years, the only thing we're going to be doing here with help from the Federal Aviation Administration is to construct that general aviation apron and the new parallel taxiway for runway 422. So that's the update on the construction projects that are currently under grant and those that are getting ready to go under grant. Any questions on that? Item 6, winter airfield condition reporting. This was in your handout, and I should have read the agenda because I actually put the papers that I want to draw your attention to the back of the handout, or what Susan had attached in her email. If you have the handout, I'll draw your attention to page number 8. It's the advisory circular, and this advisory circular that addresses how airports report the condition of their paved surfaces during winter operations was revised or updated October of 2020. And basically this advisory circular, as it identifies in the application, is guidance that's used by airport management in determining the runway conditions in winter operations and how to NOTAM those runway additions so that the pilots can at least have some interpretation of what the runways, of what the contaminated surfaces might be on the runways and the braking action report of those contaminated surfaces. We are now required to follow this reporting requirement as a result of us being an airport that accepts federal grants under the FAA's Airport Improvement Program. So if you flip over to page 9, and this is a pretty thick advisory circular. In fact, that's it right there, about 190 pages if you want to read it for bedtime stories, and how I'm supposed to interpret and report the condition of runways. There it is right there. The runway condition assessment matrix, again, this is used by airport operators to tell pilots through the NOTAM system of what to expect. If you go over to page 10, this is the matrix, that I now must use in reporting conditions on the runway. And basically what you do, because we don't have FAA-approved runway friction measuring equipment at this airport. Basically, what I have to use is the assessment criteria. I get out on the runway in my airport vehicle. I drive 20 miles an hour down the runway, and I slam on the brakes. And if I stop, braking action is good. If I keep going and slide down the runway, I use this assessment criteria to be able to report the runway condition under a particular code, six being, or five being good run, a good runway braking action, one being poor, zero being nil. That's what I have to use in reporting NOTAMs. And when you look at the runway condition description, the FAA uses less than or more than 1/8 inch of contaminant in determining some of the conditions and the braking action on this runway. And then, of course, on page 10, that's the condition assessment work page that I use, or worksheet that I use, and based upon what I see on the runway, NOTAMs are issued. And for you pilots, if you look at the very bottom of that page, you'll see an example of what a field condition or a FICON NOTAM could be for this particular airport. And in this particular case, I just use an example. The 333 means that it breaks the runway into thirds, the landing, the midfield, the rollout. I use an example of 100%, 1/8 inch of wet snow observed at the runway. And if you go back to page 10 and look at the runway condition assessment matrix, a code 3 is the equivalent to a medium braking action on a runway. Now, let me give you an example of an incident that I had last year. This airplane right here, this very airplane, was en route to our airport. Dover was getting ready to set him on a course to intercept the non-precision approach to runway 4. I was on the airfield. We had about a quarter inch of slush that froze into a solid sheet of ice. I closed the runway just as that airplane was about ready to land. Pilot wasn't happy, but he also didn't know that if he touched down on that runway, and all you have to do is look at the tires that are on most airplanes, had he have touched down and slid off that runway, it wouldn't have been his fault. It would have been my fault. Because now I'm required to report and to use this matrix in reporting the condition of runways. Now, we don't have the snow removal equipment that I had at a commercial airport. We don't have the plows. We don't have the brooms that remove the residue that the plows leave behind. We don't have the blowers that cast the snow beyond the edge lights. And we don't have the chemicals that are used to keep the runway to a no worse than wet condition. So here's what my plan is. I'm not going to close the airport because there's ice on the runway. I'll close the airport if we've got more snow than what our pickup trucks can accommodate. But if I see ice on the runway, I'll report a NOTAM where the runway surface code will be zero, which is equivalent to a nil braking action. And if you want to land your airplane on a runway with a nil braking action, you'll know that in advance, and that'll be your decision to make. Unless you want me to close the airport when there's ice on the runway.
I'm from experience, I'm thinking you don't want to do anything. Because as soon as you do, you start to accept responsibility for it. I, as a pilot, you give me a good indication. I'm going to come in and land with my guard down. I know how fast the roadway or the runway can change.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Very quickly, depending on just a degree or two. So now all of a sudden, what liability is the county put themselves in when you do give it, other than there's no assessment been made? And I don't know if that option's available. But as soon as you give a report, you own it. And it can change within seconds, not minutes.
Right.
Seconds.
Right.
Okay? So it's very...
it's a slippery slope.
It really is from what
no
I see.
Well, yeah.
Because the dynamics of that runway is going to be, one, it's going to be long term.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know what your backup plan is. Who else is going to be educated in this? You call Todd at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, Todd, I'm tired, I'm going home. And I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning. The last report says it was clear. I'm going to say, County, you're responsible. You know, with my plane being all wrapped up.
I'm not sure they can hold us responsible for that.
I don't know.
It's because of what
because you have.
Change in
I understand it. But you've given a report that says it was
more than
wet.
This time was
wet.
Right. That's you don't want to have to go to a court of law to make that kind of decision.
Right. I'm just saying that opens up the door for that opportunity versus no assessment's been made.
Mm-hmm.
Pilot discretion.
You know, it's like what it's over.
Well, you
from a business point of view, in my business, I err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to answer to people, I'll answer to them. But the safety of people is number one.
Right.
And that's right where I'll
and
head,
I
right.
think that's on if that's on your shoulders, then maybe you needed somebody else to do it to help get that decision, but I don't think we need to play with people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's where I was headed. So you're going to end up being conservative. Now I have to divert and go somewhere else. Now all of a sudden it's a fuel issue.
Yeah.
So either way, I see a problem with the liability becoming greater because of the involvement.
Well. We're required to issue a NOTAM. We have to do that. Even if we close the airport, you have to issue a NOTAM. So,
but is the condition assessment a requirement?
Oh, yeah.
We have to. So this is not optional.
This is not optional.
The NOTAM has to be done.
In my 23 years in Salisbury, I never took a winter vacation. And I spent the night at this airport several times last year. My air mattress and sleeping bag are in the office.
So these assessments were done last year.
Yeah. And yeah, I was making these assessments last year.
Because that was going to be my question, was when do you do it and how often do you do it? Because that becomes critical, or could become critical. Like, you can't do it every 5 minutes. You know,
you're,
we do know weather changes.
By the time he reports it, it's obsolete. Because it can change that.
Well, if you're on an ice rain line,
right. Which we always are.
That can just go back and forth.
And you take 2010, you had the back-to-back 24-inch snow. You're not going to last that long.
Right.
I mean, it's just going to be a problem. And you get out there on the runway, you start seeing Ninja Turtles run around.
Now,
we got a problem.
Is this your decision, or is it a county decision, or... Help me understand that. Is this totally in your hands to make the call?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Someone needs to be out there.
When you shut the runway down last year, that example you gave, was that in conjunction with the CARCAM of zero issue?
Yeah. Yep. The runway is a solid sheet of ice. And I didn't know that he was coming into the airport. In fact, I called, after I called in the NOTAM, I called Dover Approach and told them at the same time that I issued the NOTAM closing the airport. That's when they told me that we had a King Air, that they were vectoring to intercept the
RNAV.
The RNAV. Yeah. Yeah, and he had to do a missed approach and went to his alternate airport. Yeah, welcome to my world.
Well, but conversely, there's a point in time at which you open it back up.
Yeah.
right? So another one is done when it changes back over or it stops. I mean, I don't
know what
that
is. And you know, and we the snow removal equipment that we have available to us is essentially two pickup trucks with a 6-foot Meyer blade on the front of it. You know, in Wicomico County, I had two snow plows with 14-foot blades on them with flared ends that would roll the snow. I had a 24-foot broom that would broom the residue remaining snow off the runway. And we had a 4,000-ton snow blower that casted the stuff 100 feet off the edge of the pavement. We don't have that here.
Do we need it?
Well,
but we always had that.
You know, they do, and they come out to do a good job. They do a good job.
I don't know what the minimum is.
But it's got to be on that side.
Is part of the need for that equipment, Bob, because you guys were an airline airport?
It made it a lot easier to get the equipment because we had scheduled airline service. That equipment is an AIP eligible expense at non-primary airports like us, but our AIP money's tied up for the next 6 years.
I was only asking because we get questions several times a week at the front desk. What kind of airline service do you have? When will when are we getting it? You know, and we patiently explain all the infrastructure that's required to do it, and how many millions of dollars, and if that's yet another thing that we would need to have on site is, you know, really sophisticated snow removal equipment, it's just another reason. But we explain to them we don't have a security area, we don't have baggage claim areas, you know, we don't have, have, there's a lot of things we would need, and I try to explain to the people that ask these questions how much taxpayer money would be involved to raise this up to that level. And then they kind of understand the challenges of it. But if I could throw one more thing in there, like, oh, we also need to have $1 million of fancy snow removal equipment and dedicated staff to it, and et cetera.
And even then, there's no guarantee of an air carrier's going to stay here.
Plus the material
the facility's already gone through.
Well, you remember a couple meetings ago, we had that there was a member of the public here and was asking those questions about airline service. And so it kind of goes along with that conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to get us down to that.
So if I'm out on the airfield this winter and I have what I would consider a nil braking action, I'll close the airport instead of issuing a NOTAM that says braking action is nil.
Just to be clear, you're going to close the runway. Just to be clear, you're closing the runway, not
right,
the airport.
Right, exactly. Closing the runway because vertical aircraft helicopters can still operate.
Right.
Exactly. Okay.
Just make sure.
All right.
That's your
flag. Okay.
Why not just issue the NOTAM saying the braking action is nil? Are you required to close the runway?
No.
If it's nil?
No, but then you, as the pilot, who chooses to continue the approach with the intent to touch down should know by looking at NOTAMs that our runway braking action is nil.
Right.
And if you put the airplane down and you skid off, there's my defense.
No, it's on me, yeah.
Right.
My question is, why close the runway? Why not just issue the NOTAM that braking action is nil?
That's what we're discussing,
I think.
So you did that last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I closed it. I closed it.
And there wasn't any repercussions or nasty phone calls, or you just made that call.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost seems like it needs to be, I don't want to call it policy, but it needs to be consistent anyway, whether you do it or not. Is it a zero? Is it a one and a zero?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it should be consistent.
Probably a good resource you have available to you is Joe Thomas. Joe can tell you how everything's fine, perfectly good, you know, travel conditions, no accidents, great. And then 30 seconds later, there's 150 accidents, and everybody's wrapped around a tree and skidding off the road. That's how fast it can change.
Yeah.
And if you're the person that has to make that assessment, I'm just afraid that you're sticking yourself out there, and it's going to, you know, you have somebody come in because you assessed it and it, stopping distance was good. 5 minutes later, it's ice. 5 minutes after that, the pilot comes in. And
but we have to do something.
I know that. That's the
yeah, we have to do, we are required to do something. We either issue the NOTAM explaining the surface condition, or we close the airport.
And that, well, or is there a...
Or the runway.
Or is there the opportunity to say no assessment has been made?
That's no, what? No. We're required by federal law. We have to do it. We have to... If the runway is contaminated with some type of... Any one of these precipitations or whatever, we have to issue a NOTAM.
Well, let's consider something. You live in Salisbury. We get an ice storm. You can't get up here to make that assessment.
I plan in advance.
No assessment made.
I plan in advance. Huh? Well, the problem with that, Rick, is if no assessment is made, and he touches down and skids off the runway.
It's
whose fault is that?
It's on him.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not.
That's on him.
I disagree, Bob.
No, it's not.
If we're unable to get here to make the assessment, we have nobody else to do it.
Once you make that assessment, you own it.
I mean, there's
no assessment, you don't own it.
Yeah.
That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Is that what the lawyers are going to say?
That was part of my question, in that you're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't there be other people that can make that assessment if you're not available?
I can work on that through other county staff. But also,
that's a high training item.
I've always taken my position as airport, as being an airport manager, with the greatest responsibility. It took me years to convince Lisa that I had to get up off the Thanksgiving table. We weren't going to visit her parents in West Virginia. We weren't going to the Virgin Islands in January because it might snow when I'm gone. And if the forecast is predicting snow, I'm in my vehicle and I'm camping out in my office. I did it last year. I did it 23 years I was in Salisbury. I did it 5 years when I was in airport manager in Morgantown, West Virginia. I'll do it here.
Again,
welcome to my world.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But I would still recommend you call Joe Thomas and say, Joe, I want to sit down with you and go over different scenarios and ask Joe through the years of his service, the unexpected, unexplained, not forecasted.
Oh, I know. And I'm familiar with that too. I mean, I've plowed runways. I drove the broom the 23 years I was in Salisbury, which is often the first vehicle to arrive at the airport and the last vehicle to leave. I'm familiar with how weather can change rapidly also. So, I can work with Mark and we can identify a couple of people, the guys that actually drive the snow plows. Kind of drawing a brain fade right now. I can work with them and, show them, this matrix. They could be a backup.
So many vehicles available.
yeah, be a backup, but a NOTAM has to be issued. Just can't ignore it. Now, interestingly, this past summer, I was issuing NOTAMs for a wet runway. Breaking action good, code 5. I was doing that from home because all I had to do was look at the radar, call the ASOS, and if it was reporting, heavy precipitation, light precipitation, whatever, then I could probably sit there and, with a little bit of critical thought, and come to the conclusion that if the ASOS is reporting rain, if I'm looking at a radar and there's a solid green, yellow, red colors over Georgetown, the runway's probably wet. And I would issue a NOTAM for a wet runway from Salisbury, Maryland. But this is going to be a little different. To look at snow, ice, things like that, I'm going to have to be here. Or somebody's going to have to be here to issue these no temps. You know, again, welcome to my world. And it's a responsibility that I accept and assume when I took the job. So.
All right, that was an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Learned something there.
Yeah. Policy review and discussion. Again, what we have, the committee that was formed to review the rules and regulations and the minimum standards was made up of myself, Larry Kelly, Rick, and of course Garrett. We spoke about the requirements that the Federal Aviation Administration has now imposed upon airport sponsors to ensure the proper operation and compliance submittal of records by flying clubs. We presented that to you all last meeting. There was no changes proposed for that. In the minimum standards for commercial and aeronautical activities, we looked at fixed base operators, specifically the fuel requirements, and it was decided that we would adopt similar language that was used in drafting the minimum standards down in Wicomico County, where any FBO would be required to install a 10,000 gallon above ground fuel tank intended for avgas storage, also provide a vehicle to dispense that fuel, but the county has the option to grant authorization for self-fueling avgas operations to an FBO as long as market demand safety criteria is met and the FBO has fulfilled the requirement for installing an above-ground 10,000 tank and a fuel truck. They can't do one or the other. They can't provide self-fueling in lieu of the 10,000-gallon tank or the fuel truck. They can provide self-fueling as long as they provide the minimum requirements of the tank and the truck. And that's what I would propose before the county council. Any questions on that?
And the subcommittee agreed on this.
And the subcommittee agreed to this, exactly. Yep.
So you'll take those to council at some future date and
yes.
Recommend those get incorporated into our documents, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So do we need a motion to approve that then as a recommendation to council? I'll make that motion.
Okay, and I'll second. All in favor of advising council to adopt these regulations?
Yes.
Aye.
I'm okay.
Yep.
The ayes have it?
That's all I got.
I don't see any members of the public, so we can skip item 8. And
don't mean all those stuff. Oh. I want to get as much as you can. Did it cover the flight club insurance?
I'm sorry?
Did you cover the...
The flying club?
Flying
the
club.
Changes to the flying club?
That's included in this, right?
Yes, it's included in this. That's right. Yeah. So you're making the motion to approve not only the changes to the minimum standards for commercial and aeronautical activity,
right.
You're also making the motion to approve changes to the rules and regulations
right.
as they.
So is that a separate motion?
Only because he didn't discuss it separately.
I got you. What
we're doing.
Of your report.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be inclusive, so.
Yes.
But
we need a second motion. Rick's going to do another motion.
I will make that motion, make the motion to approve the flying club changes revisions as
saying.
Well and recommend them to council.
I'll second that motion.
Second that, and all in favor of that, say aye.
All right.
The ayes have it.
Perfect. That's all I've got.
Okay, then we'll our next meeting date, did you want to say anything about, or did you? Maybe you already sent an email about people renewing their...
Yes. We're at that time of the year where I need to send to the county council through Todd's office names of those individuals that want to serve on the airport advisory committee. I'm going to ask all of you if you would like to continue to serve. If so, I'll include your names in that letter to Todd. Those who are not with us this evening, we'll ask them via email to respond.
I'm out. Two meetings is enough. So.
You're out.
Done.
County people don't get the option.
Yeah, yeah.
you're in, actually.
Yeah.
You're not out.
I already responded.
So are you assuming a yes, and then if it's a no, you want to have a notice?
It's only a negative confirmation. If you don't hear from someone, it's implied.
That's fine.
Affirmative.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
But I think you should have confirmation either way. There's people that do not respond. I'm not going to name names to emails. They just don't follow up. They don't respond. Maybe they missed it.
Yeah, but that's on them. I mean,
it's
they
on
get
them,
the email.
Well, there's only non-county members that are not here tonight. There's only maybe two
or
three. Two, right?
Sarah and Gus.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm not.
Yeah. There's two that are not here. So you can reach out to those two.
You need that. They're here on the field. Yeah.
But if you do not wish to serve, then certainly let Bob know.
For a larger piece, I guess.
So you'll take those to council sometime in January, so that I think we should make our next meeting then in February. Okay with that? So the fourth Wednesday in February is February 23rd. And it would appear we're going to continue to meet here in the hangar because the EOC building's under construction and access is very limited, so we can continue to use the space as long as we need it. We'll at least be here for the next meeting or two.
Appreciate that too, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this is great. The environment is it's perfect. Yeah.
Especially when if there is a runway condition that doesn't make it conducive to haul the airplane out, we can always meet uptown somewhere else.
Okay,
that's as an alternate. So.
Good plan B. Yeah, we don't want to put the nice jet out there in
especially in February.
Snow. In February, it could happen. Yeah.
But we also have that little corner. We, you know, even when the jet's in here, that corner right there is all that is the Shell Brothers equipment. Everything you see back there is Shell Brothers that'll get moved to their big hangar when they're done here in the next couple weeks.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
They love a logo.
Yes. So I'm anxious to get all this stuff out of here and get it to its proper place. All right, so we just need a motion to adjourn from someone.
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor. Say aye.
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 Stand up and
all right, thanks, everyone.
Okay.